The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Nothing to see here.
This is the show where money meets politics.
We will answer your financial questions. We do manage money Monday through Friday.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
And we have a ton of fun with this show. Long story short, he said you're offending a whole group of people. Well, duh.
Yeah. No, we don't want them. Well, I didn't do anything wrong, and now I'm going to plead the fifth. So screw you.
Yeah.
Like, really? I mean, you know, I added the screw you, of course, but we've done this show for 20 years.
Never. I'm getting sick of winning.
And if you want to join us on the air,
we'll welcome
Tom in Boston.
Don in Rochester.
Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. It's hard to believe that 20 years has gone by so fast.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We've got the Financial Guys. Happy Saturday again to you here on the Financial Guys Radio Network, and we have a jam-packed show for you today. Lots of sound bites. May open the phone lines, of course, 844-434-4TFG is that number. And if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS is that number. Of course, you got Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We are the Financial Guys, and we are going to talk probably some economics today and a little bit of stock market. It's amazing. You know, whether it be on a local level with Tesla, we're going to talk about that. Whether it's on a national level, you got the Washington Post writing an article literally saying we all need to just lower our expectation, right? Isn't that right. Just peachy, right? So,
remember, Obama's plan was to, for fuel efficiency, was to make sure you got the right air in your tires. So,
right.
Now it's all about lowering expectations. Oh, you wanted food on your shelves.
Toilet paper. Wow.
No.
Christmas presents? Not so much. This is, to Donald Trump's point, you know, everything that Democrats touch turns to, you know, the S-bomb. And he's right. It's amazing. We're 9 months in. So we'll talk about inflation, the border, gas prices, demand, GDP expectations downgraded. We'll talk about that. So we've got a lot to talk about in the economic world. Let's start locally, though, Mike. This is priceless because we said from day one, folks, and those of you that have been loyal listeners to the show, thank you very much. Those of you that are new to the show, welcome Syracuse. Mm-hmm. We got some new listeners out in Syracuse, up on a new station out there. When Tesla was first announced, Mike and Glenn said, watch and see what a total disaster this will be and how it simply becomes an empty warehouse at some point that we way overpaid for.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Our new listeners out there in Syracuse can relate to this because they've had a vacant warehouse for one of these solar projects for a long time. So they were the first test case. And so it worked out so well in Syracuse that the taxpayers in New York gave a bunch of money, empty warehouse, didn't work out. Hey, let's try it again in Buffalo. My favorite, by the way, is Tesla moved its headquarters out of California to Texas, right?
Yeah, of course.
A business friendly. So they go to the places like California, go to the places like New York where they can find mental midgets in the Democrat Party and some of the Republicans that hand them $1 billion to build a test case warehouse that we could have done for a quarter of that price. Shouldn't have given them a penny. But so now we're finding out $207 million, $1 million worth of equipment is in the scrapyard right now in Corfu, New York, getting scrapped for scrap metal, which isn't worth anything. $207 million. Unreal. You just can't make this stuff up. All this equipment we just bought, gone, wasted, done.
It was bad enough, Mike, when I heard that they were going to sell, you know, they were selling some of the equipment back for like pennies on the dollar. Yeah. But then you find out that a good chunk of it's just going right to the yard, right?
Right, so, to the trash. Oh, that should be great for the environment, by the way, you Democrats.
Yeah.
That should be awesome for the...
So
let's build up a bunch of metals equipment that we're never, ever going to use, and let's throw it in the scrapyard. That should do wonders for the environment. Mm-hmm. I get it now why you want me to drive my SUV 32 miles a gallon instead of 30. I totally understand. The fact of the matter is you get to waste whatever you want without a problem, and nobody finds this to be... How is it just you and I talking about this constantly? I mean, disgusting. Nobody can do investigative reporting to find out, like, hey, look at another $207 million of taxpayer money wasted.
Well, to be fair, I'll give Channel 2 the credit for the ones that are out with the story, yeah. Right? I mean, Steve Brown and Joe O'Rourke are the ones that actually put this out there in the public. So good for them for actually covering this. You probably won't hear much about it anywhere else. Nah. And you won't hear about it for long. But let me read a bit of this article because it's priceless. It can be tricky locating Ed Arnold's scrap processing. It's a mile down Angling Road near the village of Corfu. The remote salvage yard is part of the latest chapter in the saga of Tesla's Gigafactory 2 in South Buffalo. Tens of millions of dollars in equipment from the factory, purchased by state government, has wound up in the scrapyard. The state agency NY Creates described the process as, quote, recycling. Oh, very nice. Very good. I thought recycling you take to a recycling center. Like scrap yards. Is a garbage pile. It's a scrap heap. That's the whole idea, right?
And I think recycling goes along with we've used this project or product to the best of our ability, right? It's worn its course. We're going to recycle it, right? I'm going to recycle this can. Why? Because I drank all the pop out of it. And it's really tasted good. And I went from A to Z with it, and now I'm going to hand it back in. Fact of the matter is, this equipment was never used. Right. Never even used. $207 million. Put it in the factory. Never used. Let's scrap it.
So
no
that's
problem.
What part of the article says. So you would think that, you know, maybe it's old. It's outdated. It's no longer used. It's like some things have a lifespan, right?
That's
an automobile
right.
has about a 10-year lifespan, right?
Sure.
Equipment has a lifespan. Not in this case. No. Channel 2 asked the question. How did government purchase manufactured equipment land in a scrapyard? Question mark. The short answer is Tesla no longer wants the machinery and wanted it out of the factory. So who better to take care of it than you at the state level, my servants, pick the stuff up, take it to the scrapyard, write me another check. I mean, seriously.
God. You can't make it up.
You can't make it up.
This is
you
just can't Democrat incompetence at its best. It really is. This is big government. Why? First of all, they shouldn't even be in the business. Tesla doesn't need New York State to give them a free warehouse in the beginning. But now we're finding out, okay, they gave them millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment that they didn't even use. Shouldn't be in that business. And now to your point, Glenn, we shouldn't be in the business of giving them a warehouse, shouldn't be in the business of giving them equipment, and we certainly shouldn't be in the business of removing the equipment once they decide they don't want it anymore.
Well, the reality of it is New York State any sort of state government should not be in business.
No.
Period.
Period.
I don't care what it is.
Period.
Look, here's the deal, folks. For those of you who are unaware, let me take a quick first stroll down memory lane, and then we'll move on. We spent $1 billion on a factory that should have cost about $150 million to build, right?
Yep.
You might ask yourself, well, Glenn, where did the other $850 million go? And you could ask Simonelli about that, because Simonelli, who rigged the bid, they used their influence at the state to work. Now, people went to jail for this, right, including Simonelli, right?
Yeah.
They rigged the bid so that only Simonelli would qualify for the actual contract to get this particular building built. And so, of course, they could way overinflate the price because it wasn't about price. They simply put in the bid. You had to be a Buffalo business for more than 50 years. Guess how many contracting development companies are in business more than 50? Only Simonelli. Well, look at that. Do you know?
And so in Buffalo.
And in
Buffalo, right? New York State, because most of them have left, right? They're in Florida right now.
Yeah, but my point is they could very easily, they could have put down $4 gajillion, and if they were the only one qualified. So, of course, the state said, looks like they're qualified, so we'll take the super high
there
cost. He went to jail for pocketing over $500 million in taxpayer money. He served 18 months in prison, right? Now, I asked somebody this. Would you be willing to spend 2 years in prison? For the opportunity for $500 million. If I said you had to spend 2 years in prison, but at the end, you get to keep the $500 million. Because he didn't disgorge the profits. He paid a fine. Fine of about $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, you take this $500 million. Give us back, one half of $1 million. That'd be fine.
Now they did donate quite a bit to the Andrew Cuomo coffers too. Now that money was never recovered. That's still in.
Yeah,
I think Andrew still has about $100 million set aside for him and his minions.
So, but it gets better. So New York, gets into an illegal agreement. Now they have to create so many jobs, or they're on the hook to pay stuff back. Whatever.
Yeah.
Tesla and Elon Musk, being the smart guy that he is, they created a subsidiary called Soliva. Now Soliva. Mm-hmm. Was a subsidiary with no assets, no balance sheet, no income, no past, no history,
no track record at all.
In our business, we call that a shell corporation, right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So some would say Ponzi scheme-like, but shell corporation.
So this
people immediately go to jail in our business for that.
So this shell corporation, which is a subsidiary, has no income, no assets, no balance sheet, nothing that the state could go after, potentially. No. Very simple for Tesla to fold that. So they, what? Who does New York State sign the legal deal with? Well, the shell corp, the subsidiary.
Doesn't hold Tesla accountable.
No, no.
But there was like a dollar a month rent. Right. So there wasn't like it was free.
Oh, I know. I'm getting there, Mike. It gets better. And so the requirement is to pay the $1 a year in rent for a 100,000 square foot facility, right? So after they realized very quickly that, yeah, it's not going to work. We can't make these solar panels like we said we would because, you know, half the stuff that Elon Musk dreams up doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, half it does. I give him credit. The cars are great.
Well,
but
well,
this did not.
Let me say for the, it sort of did work. The only problem was a roof that would normally cost about $10,000 was going to cost about $170,000.
Gotcha.
And there really wasn't a big market for $170,000 roofs you can do it for $10,000, right?
Ah,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So that, yeah. I mean, there's only so much electricity you can save for $160,000,
you know? You know, just to digress for a second, you know what was a great market for those? State agencies, if you remember, town of Hamburg, if I'm that spent $25 million on these solar panels. And here's the kicker. Over 30 years, they would save $25 million in electricity costs. So you think to yourself, well, Glenn, it's a wash. It just takes time. But thereafter, they'll make it up thereafter. Mike, go. What do you think, Mike? Does that make sense?
It does, but the panels only lasted 20 years.
Oh.
We have to scrap them before we get our money back.
Darn it. Wow.
Yeah, just 10 years short.
When it's subsidized by the taxpayers, who cares, right?
Who cares?
Hey,
not their
Hamburg,
money.
You got plenty of money, which is part of the reason why I think Stefan's running out there, right? But I digress.
Who cares?
So getting back, so they rent this building for $1 a year. But Elon Musk is a very smart guy. So realizing that he couldn't make the solar panels that he wanted to, well, he simply turned around and he subleased the entire facility to Panasonic for an undisclosed amount. Let's just say Panasonic was paying, let's say they were just paying $5 a square foot for the facility. $5 times 100,000 square foot facility is what? A lot, right? It's a lot of money. There's 500, so half a, so they're paying a dollar, right? And assuming that they're renting it for $5 a square foot, they're bringing back in $500,000 of revenue per year. And guess what? You get to pay for it, Mr. Taxpayer.
And even better now, the promises of those jobs by Saliba are totally never going to happen.
Nope.
And there was supposed to be some minimal clawback of like $40 million. Never saw a penny of that, nor will we ever.
Never.
They will never even come close on any of the, the dreams of thousands and thousands of jobs. Never happens. Now we're just scrapping the place. We'll start over again. Who's up next? What contributor of the Democrat Party is going to get that facility next?
When the building is totally vacant and it's just an eyesore in Buffalo, just remember, Mike and Glenn, the financial guys, from day one said, we told you so. And here we are, folks. They never developed the panels they said they would. They never were generated the jobs they said they would. They never generated the tax revenue to the taxpayer.
Not even close. And by the way, Rochester,
we're just
scrapping
the stuff.
Yeah, Syracuse, you've already seen this. You've got one in your backyard.
Well, they got a film out there. Don't they have a whole film studio they sold for like a dollar?
That's right. You were going to be the
LA of the East. Remember the Hollywood of the East?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Cuomo won some awards, but just the studio never took off. Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah. And Rochester, thanks for chipping in as well, by the way. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Chipped in, really, right?
Everybody pays taxes. Sure.
Yeah. Everyone listening to our show are tax paying, productive members of society, right?
Yeah.
We all paid for this. We all contributed. So, and now there's some scrapyard in Corfu, New York. Gets to reap the benefits as they sell the scrap metal for whatever the scrap metal is worth of these multi-million dollars. Amazing.
Not $207 million, tell you that.
No, definitely not. All right. We're going to tackle some other stuff on the other side of the break here. We'll check with Mike Spiraza as well if you will find out what's going on in the world of home and auto. We are going to talk about inflation. We're going to talk about the lowering expectations for GDP, what that means for the economy, what it means for the stock market. We'll cover all that and much more. Do not turn the dial. If you need us throughout the week, folks, don't forget we do manage money for a living. Obviously, we're talking about that today. You can reach us at the office. Call us directly, 833-FIN-GUYS. That's 833-346-4897. or always go to our website as well. You can email us right through that. Mike is monitoring that 24/7. He usually gets back to you within a couple hours at most, if not a couple minutes. You can go to thefinancialguys.com. You can email us through that, request an appointment, ask a question, or just find out all the things that we do, including all of our social media links, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, our podcast, and much more at thefinancialguys.com. All right, very short break. We'll be back right here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Although I've been around for a while, I can remember when a hot story broke and the reporters would run in yelling, "Stop the chisels."
But I am aware of my age. When I go in for a physical now, they no longer ask me how old I am. They just carbon date me.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. You've got The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, here on The Financial Guys Radio Network. And I'm going to be joined in a second by Mike Spiraza, who handles our home and auto division. So easy, even a liberal can do it. Give us 14 minutes, and we'll shop over 25 companies. You can reach Mike at our office again at 833-FIN-GUYS. That's 833-346-4897. Mr. Spiraza, how are you this afternoon?
I am great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Better than we deserve. So what's new this week? I know we're going to talk about an interview in a second, but tell us first about, you know, who you saved some money for and kind of the big story of the week.
Yeah, so I actually worked with someone in our office this week. They recently just got the renewals, wanted to shop around, see if we could save them any money. We ran the auto, the home, and the umbrella, saved them over $650. And again, that means a lot to us, helping somebody in our office, but also just the normal process, shopping it around. And for them, we actually increased home coverage, added about $50,000 on the home due to the cost of labor and materials right now. And we also added collision back onto a vehicle that he just removed it from to save some money. So we were able to get better coverage and save him about $650.
That's huge. Nice. That's huge. I don't think people, you know, it's funny because it's real money. I mean, it's real money when you're talking about $600, $700. I mean, some of these people save $2,000 a year just by shopping it, having somebody that can look over 25 companies.
Yeah, and another individual yesterday, real quick, they were with a certain company with us in New York, and then he recently just moved to Florida, and we needed to write a policy. He called at 3 o'clock yesterday. By 3:30, we had him a brand-new policy in Florida and got him taken care of down there. And I think that's important because we don't just work in New York. We're in Pennsylvania now. We're in Florida now. So if you need something, you give us a call, and we can help you out. And like in his example, half hour, got him done, written in Florida.
Yeah. Now, there's some things that you can do that I know you've given me some advice on some things. When you looked at my policy, for example, I had a very low deductible. I had like a $250 deductible on, you know, something that, you know, for me, I'm fortunate enough to be able to pay a higher deductible should I have the accident. But it was costing me a lot more in premium. So talk about some of the things that people can do and kind of how you consult with people on, you know, really adjusting or customizing a policy that may be the right mix between coverage, deductible, but also how that controls and handles and changes premium.
Well, I think that the deductible thing is interesting, too, because, you know, obviously you need to be able to afford the deductible. That's the biggest thing. But sometimes people have low deductibles and don't realize if they put in a claim for $400 and their deductible is $250, that doesn't do them any good later on if you have to shop them around either, right, because they have a claim on their record. That's the other problem.
Right.
So I always look at – I usually run a standard auto deductible at $500 and then have the conversation like you and I had. I think yours is at $1,000, but – you know, talk about that. What can you afford and what makes sense? Because a $250 deductible in 2021 for most folks doesn't make sense. Same thing with a $500 deductible on a home. Most claims that you put in on homes are well over $1,000, and that's why I recommend $1,000 instead of $500. You know, most home claims are $10,000 or $5,000 or $20,000. They're not, you know, $600 claims on homes. So it's not just the savings, too. It's just to keep the savings going for longer. The longer you have, you know, zero claims, the better your rates are.
Yeah, making those little claims sometimes just doesn't make sense. Or even if you make a claim and get denied, it's on your record, right?
Yeah, there are such thing as $0 claims. That is a thing, and people are impacted by those. I see it every week.
So one of those things is glass claims, right? So I was, when we were working downtown in Buffalo, Mike and I worked downtown for 3 years at Payne Weber, and we did a radio show that was downtown as well. We've been on the air for 20 years. In that three-year period, I got my car broken into not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. Oof. And those were the good days back in the 90s. Like today, it's like you got a one in two chance, right? But after my, and I'm thinking, well, it's a zero deductible. It's like $1 or something. So I'm like, all right, first one, I get it replaced. Second one, I get it replaced. Third one, I called my agent. You weren't in the business at the time. This is going back 20 years. You were very young at the time, actually, Mike. I called my agent back
then. This is when we walked to school both ways uphill
with
no shoes on.
In the snow. She goes, you can't claim this. I said, why? What do you mean I can't claim it? She goes, well, you can claim it, and they'll replace it for you, but then they're going to drop your insurance care coverage, and good luck finding another. But again, you know that. Now, she's long since retired. She's a client of ours, and she's retired some 10 years ago. But that was the benefit of having a good agent that I could rely upon to call and say, hey, do I claim this or not? And she's like, oh, no, you're paying for this one, Glenn. I'm like, well, okay. But what's better off, having higher premiums and losing your coverage and having to go find something else? Or I had to come out of pocket for like $200 or $300 to replace that window. And then we moved our office to Williamsville, smartly, right? And we've been ever since. And coincidentally, I've never had my window broken in the suburbs like I have in the four times I had it broken into downtown in the city of Buffalo. One time we were actually on the air, I remember, looking out the window. I'm like, hey, they're breaking into my car right now. Right? I think we were on. Remember? We were on the old WEC in like the RAND building.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. I digress. So real quick, you did a great interview this week. I want to have a chance. We only got about a minute left. I want to play a piece of the clip. So cue this clip up for me, Mike, if you could. Spraza, your interview.
My cue interview?
Yes, the clip. Tell me about it so I can play it.
Oh.
Who did you interview this week?
Like, get us a little excited about it, Mike.
Something. Give me something here.
When you said cue it up, I thought you meant me play it.
No, I got it. I got it here.
So we interviewed Desi Cuellar. He is running against AOC next year in the election. And he brought some interesting topics up about his family, who's from Cuba, and what happened in Cuba when his grandfather was there. It went from a democratic society there all of a sudden to communism in less than a decade. Mm-hmm. And he explained on what happened there and why it's so scary. And the example he used to show what can happen was COVID in the United States in 2020, and how we went to straight, you know, almost government rule overnight in 2020 due to a virus. And he had some very interesting takes.
Let me play a real quick clip of that. People can go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, to find TFG Truth, to hear the whole interview. But here's just a piece of it. Whoops.
Let's talk a little bit about your opponent, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC.
One of her hoodies on her website, I think it's Tax the Rich, the hoodie.
Yeah.
It's like $70.
Right.
So she speaks socialism, but she lives capitalism. It always starts with the free things. It always starts with the empty promises. It leads to socialism. And then socialism inevitably leads to communism. Communism leads to a dictatorship.
What's the first?
And that's where we are, right? So to hear the whole interview, again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Look up the podcast, TFG Truth. You can find it there and download it or watch it on our YouTube channel as well. And you can hear that whole interview, which I think was really great. So nice job again, Mike. We appreciate it. All right, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
I gotta let you go. All right, we are very long in this segment. I gotta take a very short break, hop across all for the news. If you're tuning into the Financial Guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to the Financial Guys.
The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, and we are live here again. And if you just throughout the week, use this as a resource, folks. If you think like us, 833-FIN-GUYS, that's 833-346-4897. You can always reach us here on the air, 844-434-4TFG. That's going to be the number going forward. I know for some of you that have listened for 20 years, especially in the Buffalo market, that's a new number for you. But because we are on multiple stations now in multiple markets, it's a lot easier if we have one centralized number to come into, and that is, again, 844-434-4TFG. Now, that number is also going to be live throughout the week at some point. I'm not sure if it's there yet, but it will be. And when it is, you'll be able to call that number throughout the week and leave a message for a question as well, because oftentimes, especially like last week's show, for example, our guests couldn't even get on. The phone lines were packed, right? So oftentimes, you know, you may not be able to get your question in. It's a good way to just go and leave that if you want it right on the air. If you just want to ask us a question throughout the week, again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. You can shoot it right to us or give us a call at the office. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS. We're happy
to answer that. The liberals who like to call our front office desk because we don't have the stones to call us on the air.
Right, and leave
a message for our 26-year-old assistant that answers the phone.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, we should do a years ago, Jeff Foxworthy. Remember him? He did You Might Be a Redneck, a great comedy routine. Like, if you got a car on your front lawn up on cinder blocks, you might be a redneck, right?
Before the communists took over and we could actually go down to the arena and watch stuff like that, I'd love to go watch comedy, but that's over now.
Hilarious.
You have to show your papers before you walk
in. That's right. We got to do the You Might Be a Liberal. Like, if you pulled over to look up a business number to then call them and complain simply because they had a Trump flag or a sign on their lawn, you might be a liberal.
If you're triple vaxxed with seven masks on your face, you might be a liberal. Yeah.
If you're riding your bike down the street all by yourself with nobody around while wearing a face mask, you might be a liberal. Right?
Yeah.
There's so many. So I could do a whole stand-up routine with this, right?
Oh, that's great.
Right?
That's great.
You call a TV station to try to get a show canceled, as opposed to just turning the channel, you might be a liberal, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of those things. So anyway.
If you think higher taxes on people convert to economic growth, you might be a liberal.
Yeah. If you think unemployment is the number one way to stimulate the economy, you might be a liberal, right? If you think this new, you know, $1.something trillion bill is zero tax consequences, you might be a liberal.
No.
It will cost nothing, as Jen Psaki put it. You might be a liberal.
A bunch of them have said, no, it costs nothing. 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 Yeah. You guys were able to create trillions of dollars out of nothing.
I love
the only people that could do that was Seinfeld. That's it.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I love that quote though from that interview that we played. And again, if you want to hear that interview, go to the TFG our website at thefinancialguys.com. Look up TFG Truth, and you can hear the entire interview with Mike Hayflick and Mike Spiraza. But I love how he says, you go to AOC's website, the professed socialist, who I guess is coming to Western New York to help out India Walton, and. And she's selling hoodies, tax the rich hoodies.
That's right, for 70 bucks.
Right?
I love these socialists.
No,
love them all. They're all these socialists. Remember the my favorite was the band Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
They were the biggest socialists, right? In fact, they went on this rant about how lucky Canada was to have Trudeau as opposed to Trump, and they're going to reap the rewards over the next 7 years. Well, of course, now you Canadians that are tuned in, you know you're not allowed to leave your house now. So how's that working?
You can't leave the country unless you're vaxxed.
No.
Right?
You couldn't even leave your house. You couldn't go to church. They arrested a priest who was just opened up church. And literally, not only did they arrest him, they shut down the throughway to track him down because was he a terrorist? Did he have a bomb in his car? No. He was on his way to church. People to church.
Right, right. Yeah.
Unreal.
How's that work out?
And by the way, Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam have never once decided, you know what I think we should do? We'll have a concert and we'll let the first 20,000 come in for people who don't make much money.
Yeah.
And then if there's tickets left, then we'll sell them to the people that make a little more money. And if there's any tickets left, we'll sell them for a lot of money for the wealthy people, right? Why is that he just doesn't give away a name? Remember, he was going to fight Ticketmaster years ago, and then the idiot realized, wait a minute, they actually do things more efficiently.
Oh, that pays us.
Forget that.
I get it. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Forget that.
Why doesn't Pearl Jam or any of these, you know, lefty rock bands, you know, do an income weighted ticket price, right? If your income is less than $50,000, you pay nothing.
No, free.
Right?
Should be like taxes.
Never, 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 never. All hypocrites. Every single one of them. It's amazing.
In fact, it gets more and more expensive every year they go on. You want front row seats for Pearl Jam? Oh, it's $2,000.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes. They're all capitalists. Remember, in Venezuela, now you haven't heard about Venezuela for a while, because remember, it's not what they lie about only. It's also what they don't tell you, right? It's the
more so.
And more so, right? It's the omission, right? When was the last time CNN did a story on Venezuela? When was the last time Fox did a story of Venezuela? Seriously, right? Yeah. I can't remember one in the last couple of years. But last I checked, the Venezuelans had lost 19 pounds a year for the last 2 years. They were eating their pets. They had broken into the zoos and eaten all the animals. They they had chased down all of the wild burros in the mountains, the donkeys and whatnot, eaten those too, because they're starving to death, folks. They, often in many cities in Venezuela, they have power and running water, if they're lucky, one day per week, sometimes 1 month. There's no medicine. There's no supply. There's empty store shelves, a lot like what you're seeing now, right? Because guess what? Governments don't do things well. Now, here's the thing. Venezuela.
Same reason, by the way.
Dirt
they
poor.
Have empty shelves because of big government, right?
Big government.
Simply put. We have empty shelves right now because of totally incompetent government regulations and rules, right?
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
Easy
and disincentives, right? So Venezuela is at right now, Venezuela still is, their currency is worth nothing. They still have shortages. They're still starving. They're still losing weight. Mm-hmm. People are dying. There's no more free elections. They took away all the guns. There's no more freedom. You can't travel freely, right? It's a disaster. One generation, they went from the richest country in South America to the poorest. But here's the thing, Mike.
You're missing something, Glenn.
Wait a minute.
You're missing something. Okay.
77% are poor, but that leaves 23% that are not. Right,
but they're more fair.
Oh, that's right.
76% of people are all in the same boat.
That's right.
They're all poor together.
There's no inequality.
Income inequality there. Yeah. Well, not I mean, it's just less.
But the majority.
Right?
I mean, 77%
of them. 80% of people have had to eat their dog. But
that's
at least they're all in the same boat.
All in
the
same boat.
Thing, right?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Mike, because so remember, 23%, like the AOCs of the world. In Venezuela,
be fine.
Are wealthy, right?
Yeah,
they
like
will
that,
create
like,
wealth. Think about the Black Lives Matter lady.
Oh, multiple homes.
She was great.
No problem,
right?
No problem.
Right?
Multiple. The finest of wine, the finest of cigars.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep.
AOC. She wore a $30,000 dress or $3,000 dress. Pick a number. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She's a moron.
Yep.
She wears this unbelievable dress that says "Tax the Rich" on it to a $75,000 ticketed party for the Democrats. Right.
Right?
Unreal. Unreal.
Yep.
I mean,
amazing.
If you're a Democrat and you're driving around, you're going, you know what? That's my party. What is wrong with you? What part of your brain? I really want to do an X-ray and find out what's missing. I really do.
They didn't like the mean tweets. They didn't like the mean tweets.
Don't like the mean tweets.
The
no.
sad thing is, a lot of folks that are in that party believe that they, you know, their party is doing the right thing. When in reality, because their party is awesome on messaging, right?
The Republicans
are the ones with Jim Crow laws. But let's see. Who created a vax mandate in New York City that no longer allows unvaccinated people to go into restaurants or grocery stores? Well, Democrats did. Who does that affect the most? Well, over 50% of New York City residents that are African American are unvaccinated. So
you
just froze half of the black community out of the ability to go to a restaurant or a gym or a movie theater or anything like that. Now, is that a Jim Crow law, or is that what is that exactly? Because when we actually did have the Jim Crow laws, it was the Democrats back then that did that too.
Yeah,
that's the amazing thing, right? It's funny how that works. But you're right. 77% of the people in Venezuela are all poor. So I was going to say
all equal. It's all good. It's all fine. And then there's that ruling class, Democrats, who the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders of the world,
right?
The Joe Biden, the Obamas. They're fine.
Yep.
They're fine.
Bernie Sanders
they've
is
got
priceless.
Plenty of money.
You know, I asked my great aunt, who is 94 years old now. She's the last surviving member of that generation. And I asked her about a year ago or 2 years ago. I think it was about a year ago now, because it was during the height of COVID when things were locked down. How do you feel about what's going on in the world today? You've seen a lot. You're almost 100 years old. You've been on this earth for a long time. Is this worse than it was back in the Great Depression and from, you know, just in general? She goes, well, no, this is definitely worse. The fact that we can't go out and I can't go outside, I can't go to a restaurant, I can't She said, Glenn, during the Depression, we were all in the same boat. We were all poor. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, that's when you talk about equality, right? You talk about Venezuela, 77% of the people now are poor, right? You've got these, who's a clown who came over from, I know who it is. Assal Omarova, the nominee for Secretary of the Currency, right, who oversees a lot of the banking. She said, now she's a Russian-born communist, right? She is Joe Biden's pick.
Yes.
Right?
All the people, 330 million people in this country, and we picked a communist to run the banking system.
Right. Wow. So she says, I was shocked. Now, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me, but this is a tweet that she put out. And go to our Twitter feed, at FinGuys. You'll find it there. She said, I was shocked when I came to America to find out that they still had such inequality between men and women's salaries. In Russia, we had no inequality. Markets don't always know best. Ha, 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 ha. Really?
I love how they leave their country for opportunities.
Right.
Only to make our country more like theirs.
This is the same woman who won the Lenin scholarship that goes, No, I'm not a Marxist, but I'm not going to show you my college thesis on Marxism. Oh.
I can't make it up.
Oh, God, man. I tell you what.
You can't make it up.
All right. Well, here, let's talk about this quick. We'll tease this for the next segment. So this is what – you can't even make this stuff up. This is an opinion piece by the Washington Post, right, where democracy dies in darkness. Who wrote this, the garbage? Michelin Maynard, right? She's a contributing columnist for the Washington Post. So she writes – here's the title of the opinion piece. Don't rant about short-staffed stores – and supply chain woes, you need to lower your expectations. That's what she said.
Shame on you. Shame on you. You privileged person, you. You expect toilet paper to be on the shelves and paper towels.
Yeah, here's the tweet. Here's the tweet they put out. Don't rant about short staff supplies or short supply chain woes. Try to lower expectations. That is a tweet.
And now they're all that. And my favorite is these Democrats are talking, well, it's a hot economy. Really? Is it really a hot economy? Because I think we're sort of back to where we were, right? Because we're still not allowed. Many of us are still not allowed to go into convention centers Bills games or Sabres games. Right? So we're not back to where we were the Trump days, where unemployment rates were at 4%, and you know, we had economic growth in excess of 3% per year. That's a hot economy. This economy, they're talking about lowering GDP numbers, right? They're not talking about we're growing at 5 or 6% or the Reagan days at 7 or 8%. Not even close. Be lucky if this economy grow 1-2%. Why? It can't even get supplies. Right. That's the biggest thing. Right. How do you make money? Are you going to run a company? Well, I'd love to sell you this pen, but we just can't get it on the shelf.
You're
sorry
seeing
about
that now.
That.
You're seeing, and we'll talk about this. You're seeing a lot of corporations, including most recently Procter & Gamble, lower future forecasts and lower earnings or missing earnings simply because they can't get the supplies to do the sales that they need.
Yeah.
Auto manufacturers, same way.
Right.
They're producing less cars. Yeah. Got to take a very short break, folks. And if you need us, 833-FIN-GUYS. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Don't turn the dial. You're listening to The Financial Guys on The Financial Guys Radio Network.
I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before. So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, that's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech. And the candidate said, that's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930.
All righty, welcome back. You've got, again, the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. If you're just tuning in, we were just talking about the recent article in the Washington Post or opinion piece and the tweet that they put out. Don't rant about short-staffed stores or supply chain woes. Try to lower expectations. And this is just a wonderful piece here. It really is just really eye-opening. Fast food is less fast. A huge flotilla of container ships is stuck offshore in California waiting to unload. Shelves normally stocked with Halloween candy this time of year are empty, and I saw the other day at Target here in, Ann Arbor. The issue has become so troublesome with an alarming economic and political ramifications that the White House is stepping in, urging unions, port operators, and big consumer good companies to work around the clock if they aren't already to unclog supply chains. Now, let me just tell you something, just for a second here. If you are, I don't know, Walmart, right? You're already working around the clock. You want those goods on your shelves as soon as you can. They don't need a pep talk from the dementia-ridden occupier of the White House, right? They don't need that. Hey, buckle up, work harder. That's what Joe Biden basically said. That was his pep talk. You got to step it up, I think is exactly what he said. Step it up, he said, right, as he pounded the podium. Step it up, right? Here's how you get people to step things up. Let me tell you how you don't get people to step things up. We want you to step things up. We're going to take more of your money in taxes. We want you to step things up. We're going to make you overhaul your truck with more expensive green energy garbage.
Mary, you own that trucking company? Right? You know what we're going to do? We're going to double your fuel prices.
There
That'll
you go.
Get you going.
We want
That'll
you to step you things up. We're going to take more of your profits by increasing your costs of operating and doing business by fuel costs, right?
Oh, hey, and by the way, you think you got away with it by putting some money in capital assets? Yeah, Let's increase the capital gains tax so we catch you there.
Go, right?
Oh, by the you know what we should do? Monitor every transaction over $600. That'll get you motivated to hire some people.
Here's how you don't motivate people as well. You pay them high in employment. The more people you pay to not work, the more not working people you'll have. It's not rocket science.
59 million people gone on welfare in this country.
That's right.
59 million people. That's crazy.
Terrible.
59 million people.
Now, if I were the president, or if a president had a brain in their head, if Trump were president, what did Trump do when he wanted to accelerate things for the vaccine? He created something called Operation Warp Speed. What Operation Warp Speed did is it lowered a lot of the bureaucratic hurdles and red tape to get the vaccines through. We wouldn't have a vaccine for COVID until 2030 if Trump doesn't lower the barriers to get it done, right? What is Biden doing? Is he lowering any barriers? Is he providing any incentive? Is the White House stepped up outside of saying, step up, everybody, work harder. We need you to work overtime around the clock. If you're a retail store facing the most important retail sales period of the year, don't you think they're already doing everything in their power to get those goods on their shelves? Do you really think a pep talk is going to work? Let me tell you what would work. If I'm the president or if I'm consulting or advising the president, here's what I tell the president to do. Number one, lower the regulations. Allow the truckers with older trucks to deliver goods and services. Ask California or mandate that California, through executive order, rescind some of the garbage green energy crap that they have out there that's causing a shortage of truckers to begin with, right, which are emissions things and blah, blah, blah. Second thing I do is I say, guess what, truckers? I'll allow you to work an extra 2 hours. So instead of having to drive only 10, you can drive 12. And here's what I'm going to do for you. Instead of raising your taxes, between now and the end of the year, every penny you earn by delivering goods and running your truck, you can keep. We're going to give truckers specifically a trucking write-off, a tax holiday for income tax purposes between now and the end of the year so that you have as much incentive as possible to go out. Because guess what? People work. We're human beings, right? You can't eliminate greed, and you can't take away – you can't disincentivize people and yet demand that they do more. You have to give people the right incentive to engage in those activities. Allowing them to make more money and keep that money is probably going to be a fairly substantial incentive for most people. This is a capitalist country. Threatening to increase their taxes probably not going to work so well.
Add to that, by the way, maybe a tax deduction if you were to buy a big truck.
Absolutely.
Right? In fact, Bush did that during the tech wreck to re-stimulate the auto industry. So look at it.
And it worked.
You buy it because they knew that the margins at Ford and General Motors were on the big trucks. That's where they made money. So he said is, hey, look, you buy a truck that can tow a certain amount, we're going to let you write it off against ordinary income. Bam. People went out and bought trucks, and it sent economic growth through the system. You got to get off this welfare train, by the way. It's amazing to me. See, the greediest people, I think, are the ones that don't go to work and collect money. Yeah. It's amazing that somebody that does go to work and right. wants to keep more of their own money, somehow right. the liberals find that greedy. Somehow, right. if you started a business and you ended up successful, or you work at a company and you're successful, you're greedy if you want to keep more of your own money. However, if you just want to sit at home and steal it in the form of welfare, that's what I think it is. You're an able-bodied person, plenty of jobs out there. You're just sitting at home and sucking off the system. Well, apparently, that's not greedy. That's not greedy at all. No, no.
That's righteous.
Just doing
now.
Nothing to earn a dollar yeah. is not greedy at all. But somehow, milk and cookies shows up, and cable TV and an Apple iPhone shows up yep. in your pocket, and that's not greedy at all.
Think about
amazing.
Think about India Walton, right? Poverty is righteousness now, right? Being lazy is righteousness, right? Sitting on your butt and protesting every week for green energy garbage is righteous, right? Working, you know, running a business, making money, well, you're evil, right? You're greedy, yep. right? You're a greedy capitalist, right? That doesn't work, right? It's amazing how the Democrats get away with not being greedy capitalists, right? Nancy
That's
Pelosi
right.
is worth $200 million. Is she
nope.
not greedy?
No,
was she not a
no.
greedy capitalist, right? How about Bernie Sanders? How about the socialist Bernie Sanders, right?
The worst
who has,
of
what,
greed, by the way.
Four homes, right? Or three
the worst
homes.
Of
is
greed.
Is it three or four homes now? What is he up to now, Mike? What
three,
he got?
He's got three with an Audi.
So four.
Three with an Audi.
So four would be too much, right? So I would love to hear some reporter ask him that question. You know, Bernie.
It's the ultimate of greed. It's the ultimate of greed because they're not doing anything to better right. society, right? Like, look, if you own a restaurant, I really think you're better. Why are you bettering society? Well, it's a place where people can go.
Yeah, you're employing people.
Well,
economic activity,
people, number one.
Right?
Number one. Number two, it's a place where people can go. They can relax. They can better their mental frame of mind. Right? If you make widgets or you make pens or you sell me coffee, right? What does Bernie Sanders do? Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. They produce nothing.
What do the Obamas do? They haven't produced anything.
A book.
Nothing.
They produced a book.
Nothing. Nothing. Joe Biden, you spend it forever. What do you do? What do you do? Nothing. Nothing. But somehow they have millions of dollars worth of money.
I think China would disagree with you on Joe Biden,
right.
Mike.
Well, he's still doing nothing. His influence, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing though. You're right. I mean, the way that we have twisted this world up into a way that, you know, good is bad, bad is good, green is red, and red is green. It's the stupidest thing ever. Right? It's just everything is backwards now, right? You can't talk about certain things. It's just nuts. But you know, the more people we pay to be poor and the more people we pay not to work, the more people that will have poor and the more people that won't work. It's just that simple. You have to incentivize people in the right ways. It's amazing, though, how it's become virtuous, right? You know, India Walton, she gets her card towed for not paying traffic bills or traffic tickets, right? And she comes out with this righteous. Now, India Walton, for those that don't know, she is the socialist running for mayor of the city of Buffalo. She won the primary against Byron Brown. She has a good shot at winning the general election, becoming the new
Great
mayor
job.
Of Buffalo, right? She's got AOC coming to campaign for her this weekend. Now, India Walton just had her car towed last week or 2 weeks ago because she had unpaid parking tickets and something else, an expired inspection sticker, right? And her response is, I am damn proud of being poor. I am proud that I couldn't afford to pay my bills. Now, this is somebody who is expected to run the city of Buffalo and make rules on how you should live your life, right? If you can't run your own household, if you can't balance your budget, if you can't pay your parking tickets to the point where your car gets towed, do you really think you have any business running a city? I don't, but obviously
no.
a lot of people do that think
no.
that she does, right?
Imagine the size of that business. The size of the business, that's a big business, right? She has no idea what she's doing. None. Not a clue. She's so out-leagued. It's funny. I don't even think she thought she was going to win in here in the
no.
city. She's like,
well,
I'll just run. I'll make a statement. I'll make a little name for myself.
Right.
But
yeah, how do you balance the city budget? How do you handle
you
all
what,
those
though,
contracts?
These cities are a mess, and that's why these cities are like – pick a city. A Democrat
yeah,
runs in Los Angeles.
Pick
right?
one. Any of them.
That's Los Angeles. It's a disgusting mess. Tents everywhere, crack, real drug problems, real drug problems right in the streets, right? A place like San Francisco where there's feces in the street. You can't walk without seeing literally crap in the streets. I mean, it's disgusting. They have destroyed every ounce of this, and what's left is these people that somehow think the government is going to save them from all of this. Somehow it's going to change.
So, yeah, somehow this time, the government's going to get it right. I mean, it's just, it's so ridiculous. On its face, it's outrageous. But again, it's virtuous now, right? Being poor is virtuous. Like being, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I mean, certainly people fall on bad times and in bad situations. I'm not mocking or putting anyone down. But, you know, India Walton, if you can't pay your bills, if you can't balance your budget, if you can't run your household, if you can't keep from your car getting towed, you probably shouldn't be in a position of power over other people. And
the sad thing is, Glenn, she is an absolute snapshot of exactly what's wrong with these cities.
Yeah.
She is now the mayor is now exactly the snapshot of of what the prize person is in these cities.
Sad.
Right? You walk around these cities, they are disgusting. Disgusting. You think about, and now, by the way, some of the old Democrat mayors, these old Democrats who were working class people, right? The old Democrats were go to work, we're going to fight for higher wages, we're going to fight for better better working conditions. We're going to fight, by the way, because we're losing jobs to China. Yeah. We should fight and put tariffs on them so we don't lose those jobs.
Oh, wait
right?
a minute. Oh.
Those are the old school Democrats.
That's right.
The new Democrats, she's perfect. She's exactly what it's all about.
Well, the new
right
Democrats
now.
Are communists, no doubt. All right, other side of the break, I'll talk about a video that I posted to our Twitter feed. We'll talk about that San Francisco. You won't believe it. Very short break. Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. Whole another hour to go. Do not turn the dial. We'll be right back.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Nothing to see here.
This is the show where money meets politics.
We will answer your financial questions. We do manage money Monday through Friday.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Now we have a ton of fun with this show. Long story short, he said, you're offending a whole group of people. Well, duh.
No, we don't want them. Well, I didn't do anything wrong, and now I'm going to plead the fifth. So screw you.
Yeah.
Like, really? I mean, you know, I added the screw you, of course, but we've done this show for 20 years.
Never. I'm getting sick of winning.
Winning. And if you want to join us on the air, we'll welcome Tom in Boston.
Don in Rochester.
Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. It's hard to believe that 20 years has gone by so fast.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, hour number two. We haven't gotten to the phones yet. We made this hour. I can't make any promises. If you want to try, again, 844-434-4TFG. Again, if you need us throughout the week, folks, if you want to find out about all the different departments, we do, you know, retirement planning is our bread and butter. So most folks come to us, they're somewhere between 50 to 65. They're, you know, they've done a good job accumulating assets. They've, you know, they've funded this IRA, they've got their 401k, maybe they bought something at the bank, and they've accumulated a new different products or investments, but they don't really have a cohesive retirement plan. If you want a roadmap for your retirement, where you're going to draw your income, do you have enough assets? Can you make it happen? How do you draw? What do you draw from? How does Social Security fit in? We've got you covered. That's what we do Monday through Friday. You can call us at the office, 833-THIN-GUYS, or go to our website at thefinancialguys.com. Offices in Buffalo, Batavia, Rochester, and down in South Florida in Jupiter, just north of Palm Beach. So use us as a resource. You can also find all of our social media links there as well. So Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Some different departments, just to mention a few. We just mentioned the retirement planning. We do estate planning as well. So lots of folks are trying to make sure that they're leaving their money to the next generation. We do Social Security analysis and optimization through Mike Hayflick and Ron Reinstein in our office. So if you're approaching retirement, you have to think of Social Security. For a lot of people, it's going to be one of the largest income sources that you have.
Tori, by the way. Tori in Rochester
as well.
Syracuse area.
Yep. Yeah, I always forget Tori. Sorry, Tori. but yeah, Tori's certified as well. So these are certified Social Security claiming strategists. So not somebody who just dabbles and is a generalist. These folks are specialists in how to, you know, draw your Social Security and create an income plan. You know, we do general investment planning, wealth management. We have a private wealth group that deals with high net worth individuals. We do individual stock portfolios and fee-based asset management. And we are fiduciaries. I probably don't mention that near enough. enough. But as fiduciaries, we have to do what's in our client's best interest. We are not just, you know, product sales and commission brokers that don't have the same high level of standards as a fiduciary does. So you've probably heard that term bantied around a lot in the last bunch of years. And, you know, Mike and I have operated that way for 20 plus years before, you know, being a fiduciary is really a cheeky kind of thing to be. So we've been there far before the rest of the world even thought about it. So nevertheless, use this as a resource. Again, thefinancialguys.com. Or go to our website, or call us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS. Mike, before the break, I was talking about, I just very briefly teased a video. I won't play it because there's really no audio to it, but we're talking about the disaster of the inner cities that the Democrats have created. And I don't care which city. You pick it, right? Mm-hmm. San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, yep. Baltimore, Buffalo, New York City, Detroit. You know, pick a liberal city. We'll show you, you know, economic despair and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
This one video, again, I posted it to our Twitter feed. You may have to, I did it a couple days ago. You may have to go down a little bit in our feed. But it's at FinGuys. At FinGuys is our Twitter handle. Again, you can go to our website to find the link if you need to, at thefinancialguys.com. But I posted it there. It's basically a video of somebody was checking out, so their customer was checking out at a convenience store. And there are two clerks behind the counter. And drug use in San Francisco and California in general is so horribly rampant that the two ladies behind the counter, the workers, so drugged up.
I give them credit. At least they showed up.
But the one lady working the cash register literally passed out in the middle. Didn't fall over. Just went literally just on her feet, standing, which I think
groceries.
Is heroin. They call that there's a term for that, but. I guess when you're on heroin, you pass out standing up. It's a crazy thing. But nevertheless,
wow.
She's out, right? So the customer wakes her up, goes back. So the lady next to her, she's going, you had a bag of groceries. And the lady next to her is even more drugged up. She's struggling to take one item at a time and get them into this plastic
bag. Send that video.
It's unbelievable. You won't believe it if you haven't seen it.
Think about these inner cities.
It's
what did
sad.
They do, right? Well, they lowered the bar on education, right? So instead of trying to say, okay, these kids can do better, right? We've said, City Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, you inner city schools, you know what we're going to do is you only need a 50 to pass now instead of a 70, right? Oh, look it, you dropped out of school. Do you think you're going to get your GED in the next few months? I do. I think I'm going to. Okay, great. We're going to put you down as a pass then, okay? Lower the bar on being accountable for your crimes, right? Oh, look, you little Billy, you robbed a car. Look it, probably not your fault. Look at, you're not going to do it again, will you? Oh, no, I won't do it. Okay, go back on your way, right? So, you know, we lowered the bar. And then, you know, don't even work. It's not your fault. It's the government's fault.
Right.
It's people's, it's America's fault.
It's the 1%'s fault.
You stay home and collect welfare. You couldn't possibly compete with these people, right? So that is the recipe for, hey, now we know why little Billy's doing heroin in the streets, right? All this stuff has come together. And, of course, you know, the destruction of the family unit. I mean, that has really been this, you know, take a dad out of the house and there's a double or triple the chance that you know, that the kid's going to have issues and problems, right? That family structure is so important. But what do? We said, well, you know what? There's no more financial value in getting married. You used to get you know what? You're together. You're a family. You're trying to do the right things. Guess what? You can file joint and we'll give you a better tax break for that. Not anymore. You know what you should do? You should stay separated because that way you both can collect welfare.
Right.
You both, you've got kids. You've got more kids? The more you have, the more we'll give you.
Yeah, so you're incentivizing the wrong behavior and you're disincentivizing. You mentioned the two-parent household, which is so important. Like, not only the father in the house makes such a difference, but the number one reason for the cause of poverty. The number one cause of poverty in this country is not education. It's not family upbringing. It's not where you're born. It's not what city you live in. It's single parent household is number one. So the biggest cause for a lot of reasons, right? You're a single parent. You're home. You can't raise.
You can't work.
You can't work, or daycare is too expensive to work. So you've locked yourself into a really bad situation, right? The wealthiest people in this country are the ones that delayed and made sure that they had a cohesive family unit of a husband and wife before they had children. They planted roots down. They bought a house. They had investments before they went down the line. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody. There are certain people that have children very young, right out of the gate. They weren't married. They did get married later, and they've done very well for themselves. They're very single. single people have done very well for themselves. So, but when you look at the statistics, the number one cause of poverty is single-parent households. Now, to your point, Mike, the second biggest cause of poverty is not working enough. Very simply, right? Which is an outcome of being a single parent household. But when you talk about wages, the Democrats always like to talk about, well, if people just made more higher wages, that would solve the poverty problem. But yet,
never does.
Interestingly never enough, does. Most people on poverty or below the poverty line, or most people on welfare, most people that are below the poverty line, work an average of 8 hours or less per week. Now, let me ask you at home, right? You listening at home, driving around your car, doing your whatever. If you worked 8 hours a week, how would you do? I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to pay your bills. You'd probably make a lot less money, right? You'd probably end up under the poverty. Think about this. If you're working right now and you make $100,000 a year, that's a pretty good living. But that's for a 40-hour work week, right?
That's right.
If you only work 20% of that time, right, you would make $20,000. Shazam! You're poor too, right? You're under the poverty line too, right? So again, there's reasons why traditional values are important, right? Traditional family values, marriage, husband and wife. You might say, it's a religious stuff. No, this is important. This is important for wealth in the family. Wealth in the family drives education. Education, it becomes this vicious, vicious cycle, folks.
Yes,
and yet, what are we doing? We're incentivizing people to stay home and not work by giving them more unemployment or welfare or whatever.
And you could say it's religion, whatever it is. The fact is, if the family structure stays together, the kids have a way higher probability of being more successful.
But we glorify the other.
It doesn't always happen. But and by the way, even the divorce rates when both parents are still in the child's life, higher probability of being together, right?
That's right.
One parent household, other one takes off and is a sperm donor, lower probability of being successful.
Right. These things have consequences, folks, and it's not, again, you can look at, you can blame all kinds of stuff. You can blame the top 1%, you can blame government, you can blame whatever, but at the end of the day, you could pay these folks $50 an hour, but if you're only going, that could be minimum wage. But if you're only going to work 8 hours a week, you're still going to be poor. And guess what? If you do have to pay him $50 an hour because that's minimum wage, well, guess what the Big Mac costs?
Yeah, the result of government policy has always been the opposite, or the outcome has always been the opposite. This will be the biggest one yet. Watch and see the whammy that this one is going to do. This one meaning this whole COVID garbage, and COVID being tied into, okay, now we're going to pay people $900 a week to stay home. Now the fast food restaurants and all these basic places of entry now have to pay $15, $16, $17 an hour.
Yep.
And people say, well, Mike, why is that going to be the biggest whammy we've ever seen in 100 years? I'll tell you why. Because it is going to ramp up getting rid of those jobs so fast, like never before. Does McDonald's have an incentive to go robotic when they go from $5 to $6 an hour? Yeah, they do. And they did, right? But I'll tell you what, you start taking those jobs from $10 an hour to $20 an hour, and now their labor costs have gone from 20% to 40%. Guess what McDonald's is going to do really, really fast?
That's right.
And guess what everybody else is going to do? And by the way, the most liberal companies are the ones that embrace this the fastest. If you ever get a chance, go online and check out an Amazon warehouse. Do you think it's all full of people pulling packages? Not pulling packages.
It's actually cool. It's amazing how they have a subfloor with little robots, and it's
all
really,
robotic.
Really neat. Yeah.
And if you don't think, I don't know what Kool-Aid you're drinking, but if you don't think that going from $15 an hour to $20 an hour is going to get Amazon to even build more robots, you've lost it. I mean, that's so this is going to be, unfortunately, we had that lower ring where people could enter into things. I am sure there are people all over this country that started at McDonald's flipping burgers and are now regional managers.
Yeah.
I am sure that there's all – I know for a fact my father always talks about getting into a company when he was a kid and just getting his foot – didn't care about how he was going to get in. He just needed to get his foot in the door, right? Those positions are fewer and fewer. The opportunities for that lower class – and by the way, who's it going to benefit? I'll tell you who's going to benefit. The upper middle class. Not you 1%ers. You 1%ers are they're going to benefit too, right? The upper middle class. We've been talking about this for the last 12 months. Portfolios that have gone from $1 million to $1.3 million. Guess what happens if McDonald's goes 100% robotic? Their stock probably goes up. right?
Yeah.
Guess what happens? Their labor costs are less, right? Their earnings are good. Who's that going to benefit? I'll tell you what, it's not going to benefit the poor. They don't own McDonald's stock, right? Many people own McDonald's stock in their 401k plan. And it's going to, I'm just using McDonald's as an example, all kinds of examples. But you're going to see the outcome of this is going to be the upper middle class, upper middle class, the upper wealthy, all going to benefit from this. Lower middle class going to continue to struggle, and that class is going to be bigger and bigger.
And the thing is, it's not like we don't have places to look and examples from the past.
California.
That's what kills me,
California.
Mike. They know it's like the world existed today. California has and what is California? They've got all liberal policies. They've got the highest gap between the rich and the poor. I thought they were supposed to shrink the gap. I thought Democrat policies shrunk the gap.
Nope.
So I don't understand. This is where Republicans fail, right? Where are they?
Every time.
The Republicans are horrible at messaging, right? The Republicans, you have related examples. Show pictures of California. You want your Oklahoma to look like that? Is that what you want?
Yep.
Right? You want the highest poverty rate in the country because 20% of the population in California is under the poverty line. You want the highest drug problems in the country? How about homelessness? Yeah. You like that too? I mean, seriously.
And by the way, do we have an example of the opposite? We do, right? We do a lot of business in the state of Florida. We've got multiple offices down in the state of Florida, right? Now, are there homeless people in Florida? Yeah, there are a few homeless people. But I can tell you, they're few and far between. They're few and far between, right? We don't have a skid row of tent after tent after tent full of strung out heroin addicts. We just don't.
Right.
How could that be, right? Because sometimes the argument is, well, you know, they moved to California for the weather heroin addicts, right? Oh, okay. So why didn't all the heroin addicts on the East Coast all move to Florida for the weather? What's the difference? I know. We've got a Republican down there running the state with a brain in his head who's actually making decisions, not giving out massive amounts of welfare, holding the schools accountable, right? Holding the systems accountable to get better for these inner city kids. School choice, right? Palm Beach County, where we are, right? These kids can go to certain schools in fact, one of our friend's daughters is going to a school because she wanted to learn more about pre-law.
Right.
Well, guess what she's doing? Yep. She's in with other kids that think like her, right?
Yep.
Another kid, there's a theater school down there where some of the kids that, we're going to get your basics, your English, right? But we want to do through. Okay, well, you're going to school with other kids. You're like more likely
performing
to like
arts.
School.
That's right. It's
more likely, or less likely to be bullied.
And
that doesn't cure everything.
That's right.
But it certainly is the opportunity to give school choice for these kids to be happy and not end up strung out in heroin in a tent in San Francisco's east side or east quarter.
And you know what else it does? It allows you to offer those types of programs that you don't get a chance to offer other places, right? Florida is really cool because, like you said, you have a school that focuses on engineering. One school focuses on pre-law. One school focuses on pre-med. They have specialty programs, and you can apply for those programs. You don't have that anywhere in New York. Why? Because we're paying superintendents $250,000 salaries to sit on their butts and do nothing. That's why.
Nothing.
Because those are the useless employees that are non-essential, right? Okay, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back. We're long in this segment again. We'll be if you like what you hear, folks, and you want to use this as a resource, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, or call us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Financial Guys, Glenn Wickel, Mike Lomas, here on The Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We've got the Financial Guys again, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. And if you need us throughout the week, again, use us as a resource. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, or feel free to give us a call at the office. 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-FIN-GUYS for Financial Guys, and we'll certainly answer whatever questions you have. All right, let's sneak in some video clips. I only have about 6 or so minutes here, so I want to make sure I get the right one in here. We're talking about, where is the one on inflation? Jen Psaki, I tell you, she is a peach when it comes to
Lion Jen.
Lion Jen. She's unreal. Yeah.
She's great. She's great. Oh, no, things are great. No, lower your expectations and you'll be fine. Just, I don't know what you're, the reason the shelves are bare.
Here we go.
Is just because things are great.
Right, things are great.
Oh!
Well, listen to how condescending she is here. This is great.
Just a question on the timing on the supply chain issue.
Yeah.
Actions that the president has taken. It was clear in March of 2020 when COVID hit that the supply chains across the world have been disrupted. Even as the sort of work to fight back against COVID proceeded, it was crystal clear that things were not improving on the supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why
the
is
the tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed?
Right, right.
She's laughing.
Yeah. You know,
the treadmill that's delayed.
You know, it is a tragedy, Jen. It is a tragedy,
not
Jen.
For her.
You know why? Because not for her, no. Yeah, no. But for everybody else who works for the treadmill company, right? For everybody else who's a supplier or a vendor, or if I own a fitness company and I can't sell it, Jen, it is a big deal. It is a tragedy, you moron.
Yep.
And it's just amazing how totally economically incompetent these people are.
But the point is, it's not for her, though, right? It's not for her.
No.
She can laugh because she's the top
20%. Well, you know why? Because there's plenty of treadmills in the White House for her to use.
Yeah.
No problem.
Again,
those are all taxpayers.
Remember, in Venezuela, that you don't hear about anymore, 77% are poor, but 23% are not, right?
No.
And so the 23% that are not are people like Jen Psaki, right? Nancy Pelosi, Ocasio Cortez, right? She wouldn't
Nothing
give 100
to
grand
here.
To her abuela. In fact, when somebody else raised money for her abuela, somebody from the family called and said, no, don't give her the money. So as far as we know, abuela is still living with a leaky roof, you know, sitting on a bucket, poor in Haiti somewhere, right? She or Puerto Rico, wherever she was.
Not AOC.
No.
She's not living with, she's
Fancy
got no leaks
apartment.
In her roof.
Yes. No. She drives a brand new Tesla. She could be sending that money to her abuela. But the 23% of Venezuela, like the Jen Psakis, the Nancy Pelosi's, Barbara Boxer's, on the Republican side, Cocaine Mitch, right? Mitch McConnell, right? Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan was a symbol of conservatism, the Paul Ryan budget. We're going to hold the line. And then suddenly they're like, Paul, we'll give you a couple $100 million if you do. Oh, suddenly we're going to pass every budget. And wouldn't you know it? Now watch this. Watch India Walton. If she wins a mayoral race in Buffalo, she will go in poor, but she will come out wealthy. Mark my words. The best way for people like India Walton to become wealthy is not to start a business, not to create a product. No. Become a politician. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
And it's always a model that we can't reverse engineer.
No.
You know? I remember watching an episode on somebody who reverse engineered Bernie Madoff's stuff and said, this has got to be a Ponzi scheme, right? Well, you know, why? Well, because of the 2008 crisis when every asset class was down, everyone.
Right.
He was still up, and mathematically, we couldn't figure out, even if he shorted everything, how this would have worked out.
Right.
So, but you know, when it comes to like Nancy Pelosi, who makes $100,000+ a year, I just can't figure out how she turned it into hundreds of millions of dollars. Right? AOC will be the same way. AOC, it'd be like, why, AOC, boy, your income was $100,000. I know you got a pension. That's nice. You know, well deserved pension.
Yeah.
But boy, how did you walk away, Harry Reid, with $15 million.
Right.
How?
Well, we know with Harry Reid. We know how he did it, right? He bought a piece of land that was like, you know, undevelopable, you know, farmland, you know, zoned
and
agriculture. And then he just, you know, helped to change the rule to make it commercial, you know, industrial, or whatever he did. And then, of course, that land became really valuable really quick. So in his case, we do
know. Some of them disclosed. Andrew Cuomo, he wrote a book on how successful he was at curing COVID and fixing COVID.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was $5 million bucks. That was $5 million. That was a good year for him, basically.
That was a good year.
Yeah, he got thrown out, but who makes $5 million bucks in 1 year from a book deal?
That's a good deal.
That's right. Yeah.
Again, would you give up your job for $5 million bucks? Would you serve prison time for a year and a half like Simonelli for $500 million? I mean, what price are you willing to pay? Oftentimes, these politicians line their pockets, right? They'll take the money from the lobbyists and stuff like that, the dinners,
Shelley
and everything
Silver.
Else. And then they'll just resign. Like, I'm going to retire now. I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like the Black Lives Matter lady, she nailed it, right? She took they raised $100 million. She spent $30 million of it on herself. When they were when she got called on it, she goes, "Yeah, I'm done. Goodbye. I'm retired.
I'm
out. Don't ask questions. I'm out."
And
she walked away. That right there is a microcosm of socialism. Right there.
If you're going to question me, I'm out.
I'm out. Right. But that right there is exactly how it works, folks. They take everybody else's money and they enrich themselves. That's socialism. All right, we got to take a very short break. We're going to come back. We got another half hour to go. 833-FIN-GUYS if you need us. Or again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Don't forget our TFG Academy, fall sessions in full swing, income planning, estate planning, retirement planning, and more. Go to our website to find out more information. Again, thefinancialguys.com. All right, very short break. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
Remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We have more video clips coming up for you. We did talk, we are talking some economics and really, you know, socialism. And you're seeing the results of it, folks. I mean, you're seeing exactly, you know, what you would expect when you have an absolutely incompetent administration that wants to raise taxes and spend money without any clue of what that does to the economic system. And, you know, the inflation that they all said was going to be transitory, all of a sudden they're all these wizards of smart are now saying they're not so transitory anymore. You know, now we think it might last for a while. Now we think, you know, Pete Buttigieg, who was literally appointed as the transportation secretary because he meets the diversity quota, right?
That's the
only reason. Oh, and he likes choo-choo trains. That was the other one. He likes trains.
No experience whatsoever.
None.
But you're gay. Okay, well, you qualify then.
Oh, yes, works. Okay, you were a mayor of a really small town, so that might work. Yeah. He has right. no idea. We already talked about how to incentivize that. But things like inflation, you know, that's going to be a continued problem for a while. And what's going to happen is either the supply bottleneck is going to stop. You know,
but don't worry.
Or demand's going to wane. That'll be fine.
It's all good. It's all good. Rising prices when your fuel goes to $6 a gallon, it's all good.
That's good.
It's all good, folks.
Because that means the economy is doing better and you're doing better.
Economy's great. It's great. Remember that time when Carter was in office and think,
This is the lower your expectations from the Washington Post is the Jimmy Carter lower your thermostat and put on a sweater. That was literally his response for those of you that were too young to remember when we had the energy crisis in the 70s and people were struggling to pay for the heat their home. They were struggling, which is going to happen this winter again. You already heard Chuck Schumer. I'll find that clip, right? We got to do something. So create the problem. Right. This is the Democrat playbook. Create the problem by shortening supply, by killing supply of energy. Create the problem, higher fuel prices, meaning higher heating costs. Right.
Now fix it.
Now be the shining knight in armor.
Wow. Yes.
We have to do something, Schumer says. Let me find that clip because it's worth it.
How do I come in and fix this? Who created this?
Yeah.
Mess?
Who did this? Whose fault
Chuck,
is this?
You're looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's a mirror, Chuck.
I mean, that's a mirror, Chuck. That's a mirror, Chuck. You're looking right at yourself, buddy.
How could these fuel prices be ridiculously so high? I mean, so what if we cut down the supply? Oh, how sad is that, by the way? You know, you had Trump running the country. We were for once. This country was not dependent on terrorist nations for the fuel, for our fuel, right? They could not hold that over our heads. We had excess supply. We've got plenty of fuel. plenty of resources, fuel prices down. Fuel
independent.
Prices, by the way, one of the biggest tax increases to the poor and the middle class are fuel prices. They drift their way into everything. You know, oh, I need to truck this. We were talking about Jen Psaki and the tragedy of the treadmill. Well, guess what? If there's a treadmill on a truck, and now the truck, it takes $1,000 instead of $500 to drive those treadmills across the country to my house. Guess what's going to happen to the price of the treadmill, right? Pick milk, eggs, cookies, you name it, right? Not to mention, oh my gosh, I've got to spend double the money to fill up my car to drive to work every day for those of us who are still left doing that outside right. of the 59 million people on welfare in this country.
Yep, absolutely. I can't find that Chuck Schumer clip, but I did find another one that I like. I'll play this one instead. This is Pete Buttigieg. Now, the talking points from the White House have gone out, right?
Been off for 2 months, by the way, Pete, right?
Yeah, 2 months. Nobody knew. Yeah. Nobody had any idea. He's so useless that nobody had any idea that he was gone for 2 months. Think about that.
Things
folks.
Were actually better without him.
Those of you, again, listening, if you didn't show up for work for 2 days, right? What would happen if you didn't have somebody that was already in line to handle your job for you or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're the fry cook at McDonald's. Yeah. If you don't show up for work, it's going to break down, right? Pete Buttigieg left to go take care of, breastfeed his new baby, and literally, and nobody knew. Nobody knew.
This is
nobody
what
had any
call,
idea. He was
this,
gone.
This when the government shuts down and you wonder about what are those non-essential workers?
This
well,
is
those
it.
Would be the ones, where this they take it. 2 months off and nobody knows they left.
That's right. So the talking points in the White House have gone out. When they asked you about inflation, tell them that it's a good thing because that means the economy is growing. Let me dispel that myth again. I did this last week. Okay, their argument is when the inflation is caused by a roaring economy. That's not necessarily true. Inflation is caused by an imbalance between supply and demand. It's too many dollars chasing too few goods, very simply, okay? We have too many dollars. How do we have too many dollars? Well, we airdropped about $7 trillion into the economy, right? All that money that went for PPP loans and remember the stimulus checks?
Not going to cost a thing.
All that unemployment, right?
Not going to cost a thing, Glenn.
Flooded the market. Flooded the market full of flooded people's bank accounts and pockets full of money. They went out and spent it. So supply increased. What happened to demand increase? What happened to supply? Well, supply got restricted because we shut down our economy. We said that don't shut down the economy, but yet we did it anyways. And we shut down just 2 weeks to slow the curve, they said.
Yeah,
and 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and 2 months now turned into 2 years.
Now.
Right?
2 years now.
And so,
now it's show us your papers or you won't do anything fun.
So imbalance between supply and demand. Over demand because of juicing the economy with money and lack of supply because we shut down our businesses. That's causing inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, don't add to that, we decided to keep the labor force home pay them $900 a week when they were making $400, $500, or $600 bucks a week. Or
now,
in some cases, $100, right? $100 a week. We have a client that were making $100 a week, part-time job, at a movie theater, got laid off. They were making $900 a week. Now, what do you do? Go back to work for $100 a week?
No. Right. So think about this. Now, the argument that the inflation is caused by a roaring economy, and that's a positive thing. Remember the 90s? The 90s was a wicked good economy. The economic growth rate in the 90s was above 4%. The 80s, remember the 80s? The 80s had some great economy, too.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the 80s? Well, the 80s, the inflation started to go down. In the 90s, we had a great economy in the 90s, yet we had very low inflation in the 90s. So good economy, low inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So the argument that a economy that's really good – well, then, but the argument could they could come back and say, well, okay, but when the economy was really bad and then it gets better really fast, see, we're making the economy better really fast.
Oh.
And that's why we got. So let's go back to 2009.
But here's the funny thing. They're not making the economy.
They're
the
not.
Economy is not growing at 7 or
8%,
right?
No, no.
They're actually taking credit for a growth. We're this fast growing. No.
And they're downgrading.
You shut the darn thing down and we're trying to get back to even. This isn't growth rates of 7 or 8%.
But they just lowered expectations for GDP for the next two quarters. They just literally said, well, that 5.5% GDP for the fourth quarter, we're looking at more like 4-ish now.
Yes.
Right? So at the same time, they're saying they're so good and they're patting themselves on the back as best that they can. But again, in the 70s, we had out-of-control inflation, horrible economy. Right? So don't tell me that inflation and a good economy go hand in hand because they clearly do not. right?
It's I'll tell you what
it's not
what
a necessary helped, evil.
No, and what's helped a lot with that is technology, right?
Yeah.
What used to be, so 100 years ago when you were turning this economy around, it was, believe it or not, although smaller, harder to turn around, right? You've got production facilities and all stuff. Right. Now, boy, what do you mean? We're 3D printing that?
Right.
We just changed the 3D printer to go from pen number one to pen two, right? Technology has really been the ultimate equalizer. And let me tell you something. If you just let the free market system work, shelves will be full.
That's right.
People want to make money.
Well, what happened?
They will figure out. You have a demand for a treadmill? You better believe somebody's going to have on the shelf. If you let the free market operate the way it should.
Well, technology allows for the suppliers to keep up the supply to meet the demand, right? And so that's the whole basis of supply-side economics. For people like Hillary Clinton said, it's been tried, it has failed. No, it hasn't failed.
Not for her.
Not for her. For the last 100 years or so, you know, we've been always been plagued with inflation in this environment, this economy in our country, except for the last 30 years or 40 years up until this year, right? Why? Why are we going back to inflation rates? Well, I just explained to you why. But think about this for a second. We had in the 60s and 70s, we've always had, you know, inflation. In the 70s, it got really bad. It got to double digits. We had 12, 13% inflation rates while having a horrible economy. We had stagflation back then. It was terrible, right? A shrinking economy and shrinking GDP, but higher prices and higher inflation at the same time. This was bad. Why do we have that? Because we didn't understand economics back then. The theory at the time, the prevailing theory for many years in this country, from 1930 to 1980, for 50-plus years, was Keynesian economics. Keynesian economics is meant to incentivize the demand side by government spending. So the theory is you create demand by what they're doing now, by giving people money, by spurring demand, by handing out government money, or creating government projects that people can work, spurring demand.
Big difference, by the way, big difference in creating a project that actually may have some value. I don't believe in it. I still think it's a waste of money, meaning the private sector can do it more efficiently. Mm-hmm. But there's a big this is where the stuff has just changed so radically, right? The Democrats 40 years ago would never have said, oh, just hand out money and throw it to people and let them sit at home, right?
Right.
The Democrats would have said, look, we want this money to build a gorge, to build a dam,
to
build stairs to get down to the to the bottom of the Niagara River, right? Stuff that is still there. Like stuff we can tangibly still using to this day, right?
That's when they actually spent infrastructure money on infrastructure.
Yeah. Like how many times over the last 20 years have we heard we need roads and bridges, but yet nobody sees any roads and bridges being changed? None.
But part of Keynesian economics was spur the demand by government spending and catch up later with higher taxes and take more money out. So what do? They spurred demand while at the same time disincentivizing the producers by increasing taxes to pay for that spurring demand. What happened? You created demand. You shrunk supply. That imbalance created inflation. That's why we had inflation in the 60s and 70s. Now, Reagan comes in, and at the time, they said you can't have both low unemployment and low inflation. That was conventional wisdom at the time, because to get low inflation, right, you have to have a slow economy, which means you can have high unemployment. If unemployment goes lower, that means more people are working, in which case you can have a good economy, and that's going to, you know, so and so on and so forth. So Reagan was the first one that said, no. We can have both low unemployment and a good economy and low inflation. And the way that we do it is we forget about demand. Demand will take care of itself. We're going to incentivize the producers. We're going to incentivize the suppliers. Hence the term supply-side economics or trickle-down economics. And what he did was he embarked on a policy of deregulation and lower taxes. He incentivized, the theory is, incentivize the producers to produce. If you incentivize producers to produce, they will produce more. When they produce more, that will drop prices. When prices come down, that spurs demand.
Not only will they produce
it
more.
It works.
More competition will enter the market.
Absolutely.
Right? Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Mike and Glenn might be able to keep 80 cents on the dollar instead of 60 cents?
Sure.
If we get into this business,
yes.
Let's take a risk. Let's try it.
It brings in more producers.
Right.
That's right.
He proved it right. As
he
we went through the greatest 20 years in the history of the United States of America.
Right.
As
we had the biggest
growth.
Economic growth, I mean, and the highest average annual rate of return of the stock market throughout
that time. some of those growth numbers, 10, 11%, right? I mean, we'd be lucky to have 2% this year. I mean, once this is stabilized, right, from COVID, right?
That's right.
I mean, even during Trump, we were going – it was Obama had 8 years where we didn't have 1 year that it exceeded a 3% growth rate, not one. Now, Trump had a few, but still, many of those years, 2.5, 3%, right? Well, he didn't drain the swamp enough. He was right. He was absolutely right about the swamp. He nailed how disgusting and muddy he was. Yeah, unfortunately, he wasn't able to drain them all out. And we've been talking about this for weeks. It's not Biden, although he has been there and he certainly has been grooming the sides of the swamp. But the real swamp is the Dr. Fauci's of the world that have been there forever. These people that have wasted government money. You know, there's the government waste book. And I was reading an article the other day about there was one program. When that book first came out, there was somebody who got it was like $50,000 to do something ridiculous. Well, that foundation is still around, and now it's collecting millions of dollars every year.
It's crazy.
To study shrimp on a treadmill, or why a bird might be more happy if we give them cocaine. I mean, just ridiculous.
Yeah, most birds are, coincidentally. Yeah. That's what the study found. Go figure. All right, you got to take a very short break.
$1 million. Yeah, I guess they are happy.
Yeah, real happy parakeets. They're real happy.
Oh, boy, he's
a little
dead.
Energetic, too. Yeah. Oh, he's dead. Yeah, that was a bad
party's year. Over.
Study's over. All right, we got to take a very short break, folks. If you need us throughout the week, again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. There you will find, again, all of our departments. We have 20-plus investment professionals as well as 200 years of combined experience on our investment committee. We have 3 chartered financial analysts on that exact same investment committee, one of which is on CNBC about every single week. That's Paul Meeks. We have a huge economic update and stock market commentary open to the public coming up next week. You can go to our website to register for it. It's next Wednesday at 6:15. It's a call-in listen or maybe it's a Zoom meeting watch. You could probably watch as well, I believe. So go to our website. You can find out information on that. If you're worried about the market, you want to find out what's going on, what to expect next, what's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 months, what are these guys thinking? We're going to talk to the experts and bring them on, and you can sign up for that by going to our website, thefinancialguys.com, or again, call our office, 833-FIN-GUYS, for more information. All right, very short break. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Although I've been around for a while, I can remember when a hot story broke and the reporters would run in yelling, "Stop the chisels."
But I am aware of my age. When I go in for a physical now, they no longer ask me how old I am. They just carbon date me.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. You've got The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We're just talking over the break. We talked all about the supply chain disruptions and the talking points out of the White House on, well, the economy is good. And then I forgot to play the Pete Buttigieg clip, so I want to play that now.
Very qualified Pete. Qualified Pete.
Qualified Pete, yeah.
Qualified Pete. Yeah, seems to be doing a bang-up job. Oh, he's not there. I didn't know that. Okay. So
probably better off, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, if you missed the earlier part of the show, you know, we went through all the things that you could potentially do to alleviate the bottleneck at the ports, right? We talked about how to incentivize labor, but they won't do any of that. They won't. No. All they're doing
Is going to go?
They're demanding things. Work
the
harder.
The East Coast will be shifting more and more of the unloading of boats will go from New York to Florida, right? That's where going.
Yep.
DeSantis, just an incredible leader. Very, you know, what's funny is he's just doing common sense stuff. The other day, I said, man, this guy's so bright. Not really. I mean, this is just common sense.
I mean, he's
stuff.
A bright guy. Like, he didn't go to
no
Harvard. I mean, he's a super
no
smart
doubt
guy.
About it.
But you're right. It's all common sense.
All common sense.
That's
right?
It.
Oh, let's see. Ivermectin works. Huh. You know what? Let's
maybe
set
we should
up some
use
tents.
That.
Yeah. Maybe we should use that. And maybe we should just set up some tents so people can just go in and get it because it's really, really cheap. Oh, by the way, look at 2 weeks later, emergency room visits down 75%. Wow, would you look at that? Worked, right?
Would
common
you look
sense.
At that?
Yeah. Now we've got the liberals who go, well, I think Trump mentioned that, so I don't think we're going to use it. I don't think we're going to do it.
Yeah, not to digress, but the ivermectin that they, you know, everybody said, you can't, they're made horse paste, it's making fun of Joe Rogan, right?
Oh,
they,
Joe was great.
They made it illegal in a lot of places. They won't prescribe it.
We got to play that interview, right, of Sanjay or whatever.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He goes, well, doesn't that bother you? Goes, it should.
It should. Like,
your network is lying, right?
Right.
I would be mortified. I'd quit today. If I knew my network was consistently lying
and
like
you're,
that.
You're the doctor.
And they were, and they, you're the doctor, and you're I was the one paying for it. You're the doctor. That's right. That's right. You're not the producer. You're not the one like plugging in the cameras.
No.
You're the doctor.
Right.
They're lying. Your network.
And
you're
the
face of that.
And you know, they probably shouldn't have said that. He's like,
probably not.
But anyway, so this cheap, right? Ivor, you can pick that up for $10 or less a pill. It's super cheap, right? So, but you love this one. So Merck comes out. Now Merck comes out and says, guess what? Good news. We have a pill that could potentially be taken to treat COVID. Guess what? It's only $500 a pill. We're going to sell it to the federal government, and it just so happens to have ivermectin in it. No joke, folks. That is the truth. Now, they said, well, but it's not all ivermectin. It's ivermectin mixed with other things. But wait a minute. I thought it was horse paste. I thought it was a dewormer. I thought we wouldn't want to take that. What they did is they took ivermectin. They mixed it with some other stuff. Ivermectin is still the predominant drug in the medicine that's treating you. And instead of being $5, it's $500. And guess what? Again, you and me, we taxpayers. You listening out there, you're the taxpayers, we'll get to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And Merck will make tons of money. The only benefit is that maybe you own Merck. If you're the top 20 percentile that own investments, then you're good. Right?
And guess who gets to front run some of that stuff?
Oh.
Who gets to buy some of those stocks based on the information they might know without any problems? Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be Nancy Pelosi.
That's right. They check her trades. That's right.
Oh, by the way, totally legal. Totally legal. So that's why Mike and Glenn can't re-engineer the returns. Oh, because we don't have the insider information. Because we go to jail.
Right.
Okay, I got it. This is disgusting.
It's crazy.
Watch and see. You will see every one of them will have purchased this stock. They will have known the information's coming down.
Sure.
They'll know the margins are going to be huge because if we're buying it, if it's $10 on the market now for ivermectin, that means they're making it at $2 or $3, right?
Sure.
So now, dude, the margins, you do the math, folks, $2 or $3, we could sell for $500. That's a good deal, right? And if we sell it to the taxpayer, which we could probably even mark it up even a little more, right? But even if we don't, we know we're going to get paid directly. $500 right out of the taxpayer's coffers. This
even,
is good.
Even better, the government's so efficient, Mike, that they'll probably, for every 1,000 that they order, they'll probably only get $500. Remember, we didn't talk about this very much, but Governor Cuomo in his panic, and he panicked, folks. When this thing hit, he panicked. He ordered ventilators from the Nigerian prince. Literally, he fell for the scam.
Well,
he spent hundreds of millions of dollars of New York State taxpayer money on ventilators that were never delivered. Total scam. He got totally scammed because he panicked. When you don't know what you're doing.
Good news is we didn't even use the ones we had. So
here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. These folks are so incompetent, these bureaucrats, with Pete Buttigieg, the Andrew, they're so incompetent.
Well,
what happens is they get put in a position. The plane's already flying, right? The plane's already in the air. It's already on autopilot. They say, Andy, take the wheel, buddy. You got this. He goes, oh, look at me. I'm great. I'm flying this thing. I'm the best ever. I'm awesome at this thing. And then they go, okay, now we're going to take off the autopilot. It's like, oh, my God. They panic. They freak out. They panic, right? Because they have no idea really how to fly a plane.
No.
Right?
One of my favorite decisions he made was, we have ventilators. We're just going to save them.
Oh. Stockpile.
So you think, by the way, we now find out that ventilators really hurt more people probably than health.
They're still using them.
Yeah. But you're going to stockpile them just in case. And we were right. We said, well, that's the most ridiculous thing. You use every single one of them. And then when you're out of them, you figure out a way to get more, right?
Right. If your house is on fire and the fire department shows up and you say, why aren't you using the water? Well, we're saving it in case other houses start on fire. Think about that. That's what they were doing with the COVID supplies, right?
Whether it be again, going back to DeSantis. Going back to DeSantis. This was using common sense. This isn't him being, that's so smart, right? No, it's okay. You've got ventilators. Use them. That's what they're made for, right? That's what you said you had them for.
That's right.
We're stockpiling them in a warehouse.
That's right. Crazy.
And Trump called him out on it. Of course, CNN forgot that story too. Oh, by the way, one of the lowest states per 100,000 right now in COVID cases, Florida.
Yeah, go figure.
Just letting you folks know that, because I'm sure CNN's going to come out with that story any day now.
Exactly.
One of the lowest in the country, state of Florida.
Well, don't worry. Pete Buttigieg is on the job. Let's hear what Jake Tapper is interviewing Pete on Mayor Pete at the CNN here. Qualified Pete. You'll love his answer. This is good.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year. But there are both short-term and long-term steps that we can take to do something about it.
Look, what would those be,
part
Pete?
Of what's happening, what might those be, Pete? The supply side, it's the demand side. Oh. Demand is off the charts. Retail sales are through the roof.
That's and funny because GDP is only up like 2%.
Yeah, right.
Ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast.
Could you hold that for a second? This is so disgusting. This is so.
But these are talking points.
We're bringing down the GDP estimates right now. That's what we're doing. We're not increasing.
Yeah, it doesn't shy.
We're not saying the economy's going to grow at 18% next year.
No.
We're saying, look at even what we thought it was going to do. Now we're not even coming in at those expectations.
Right. That's right.
So this is either total incompetence, or a lie.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's the talking points that the White House put out. It's the spin master saying, here's the talking points we're going to run with. Because you heard Jen Psaki say this. You heard Nancy Pelosi say this. You've heard Pete say this. Let me finish the clip.
If you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because demand is up, because income is up, because
they're
the
president not buying
has
them.
Successfully
they're
guided
not on the shelf,
this
idiot.
Economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession.
Right, that you caused, by the way, that you created.
Yeah,
right?
They're not on the shelf, pal. No, nobody's buying them. That's the whole point.
That's the whole
point. They're not
there
to buy.
That's why they're lowering expectations.
Yeah.
See,
yeah, qualified Pete. Right? They're not on the shelf.
Don't worry.
If they're not on the shelf, and I walk into the store, I don't buy
them. That's right.
Gone.
That's right.
There's no money out of my pocket.
What's the argument going to be when demand wanes? Because it's going to at some point. That's it for the show, folks. We are out of time. I wish we had more time. But tune into our podcast this week. We'll pick up right where we left off there. So go to our website.
If you need any scrap metal, by the way, Corfu, New York. Corfu, New York got all bunch of scrap. $207 million worth of taxpayer scrap metal now.
Sitting out there. Yep, very good. All right, thefinancialguys.com, 833 Finn guys, if you need us. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We are the Financial Guys. We'll see you Tuesday on the podcast, airing live at 8 a.m. on our YouTube channel. Don't miss that. All right, we'll be back next week as well. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend, everybody.